Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, people will often argue over whether a vegan diet is better or worse than a meat-based one. So Ross and Hugo Turner opted to put some scientific rigidity to the debate. They're identical twins. And so for a period, one went vegan, the other omnivore, and King's College London monitored what happened. Hugo and Ross join us now on News Talk. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, you're both there. That's good to know. Now, Hugo, how long did you do this for?
3 months. It was going to be longer, but I think just the practicalities, and this is obviously a 3 month training program that was really aimed at trying to work out what the differences are between a vegan versus meat diet.
Yeah. And Ross, you try to kind of maintain a set of scenarios where your lives were pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah. I think whenever anyone puts a study together, you have to have some consistencies, particularly when you're putting one against the other. So we had exactly the same endurance fitness program at the gyms. We went to the gym at the same time and the same amount of days during the week. We ate pretty much the same calories. So we had lots of controls that were, as practical for us to achieve as possible throughout the 3 months, so that we could take any bias away from this this study. And then at the end of it, obviously, we looked back at the results, and you can really start to see some change.
Yeah. Now, and just for clarity for people, you were on the omnivore diet. That doesn't mean you were just eating meat. You're eating all sorts of things as well as meat.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of people on social after this experiment did say, "Were you just eating meat?" No, I was just eating a regular diet, whereas Hugo was on vegan. So that stayed the same, which was just really interesting to, you know, you hear so many people saying, oh, you know, vegan diet's really healthy, or a meat eater diet's really healthy, you know, who's wrong, who's right? There's no real right or wrong answers.
Yeah.
And some of the results that we found were really interesting.
So your diet, Ross, didn't change that much, would that be fair to say?
Yeah, exactly. My diet didn't change. We're not vegans by choice, and we're not vegetarian by choice. We just eat everything and anything we can, really.
Yeah, okay. So then, Hugo, this was a big change for you.
Yes, and it hit me like a sledgehammer. So it was the middle of lockdown, certain travel restrictions last summer, 2020. And yeah, the benefit of that was that we weren't traveling around, didn't have any projects, adventures coming up, so we could really focus in on this. And really where this is all stemmed from is that as adventurers, we have a lot of downtime, let's call it our off season, where we're not out exploring the world. And, you know, we need to try and keep our bodies as fit and as healthy as possible. You know, we're in our 30s now, so it's certainly getting tougher to keep, you know, and feel healthy. So, you know, we use these 3 months training fitness programs as a real opportunity to, you know, give us some focus, but also to exactly what we've done here is to try and just uncover a bit of information about, you know, as we're twins, we can compare various things, and we've done all sorts of experiments. And the vegan diet was it was really, really difficult the first couple of weeks.
Were you eating a lot of things you'd never eaten before?
Oh, absolutely. Jackfruit, didn't know what that was. I thought jackfruit was like breadfruit, but maybe I'm completely wrong. It was really interesting because we had a food, you know, you're getting a lot of these home delivery food boxes at the moment. And we had one of those supporting the project. So it was really just a case of opening the door and all the vegan food was there. But on the weekends where it wasn't delivered, trying to venture out and find vegan food seems easy. And in theory, it should be easier. You've got all your vegetables and your pulses and your nuts and things. But as soon as you get to snacks, that is a whole kettle of fish. Snack. It's so difficult to find things that don't contain milk powders or whey powders or you know, dairy products. It was a real challenge.
Okay, yeah. Now, so when you started on the diet, Hugo, did you notice, did you feel differently in any respects?
Well, let's just ignore the first couple of weeks when my body was really, you know, trying to adjust. But once I got into that, through that adjustment period, I did feel much, much better from, you know, day to day. I had a lot more energy. I was mentally a lot more alert. I could think clearer. I didn't have those mid-afternoon, you know, tired periods. I was probably generally sleeping better. And I think it really comes down to, well, a key thing for me that I can put my hat on quickly and say is that it was the snacking. You know, I can have, you know, the meal times I could get by on the vegan stuff, but when I wasn't a vegan, and for generally people, you know, if you're at the office, 11 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever time you go and snack, it's generally on very sugar high foods, biscuits, crisps. And so I wasn't getting those peaks and troughs of sugar, of, you know, a sugar high followed by a sugar low, because I was eating fruits, nuts, pulses, everything that was wholesome. My blood sugar level was very, you know, level, much more level than it would be. So I never got those, you know, 3 o'clock, you have a, you know, a few biscuits and a cup of tea, hot chocolate, whatever that is, and then you crash. I didn't crash. So that was a really, really interesting insight for me.
Yeah. And was there any downside to it? Did you feel worse in any respect?
Yeah, I did. And I hate to say it, but I lost my libido. And I don't know why, but apparently it's happened before. And I found it really personal. I was like, oh, it's all me. It's all me. But actually, you know, I spoke to King's College and a few other people, and they said it was, you know, quite a normal thing. But yeah, as to why that happens, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Could it be deep down, you know, that nobody wants to have sex with a vegan?
Oh, probably too much meat involved.
Ross, we might as well switch over to you. Did you find any deficiencies in the trouser department?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I think half of some of the problem that Hugo experienced was, as he highlighted, was trying to find the amount of calories to get in to match it. And I know we weren't perfect across the 3 months. We tried to stick to the same calories as much as we could, but there certainly were days when I would say forget to eat because we were busy, and Hugo couldn't find the appropriate foods to eat and snack during the day. But in terms of my kind of what I experienced, like we've done many of these experiments now, and I think our regular diet is kind of the baseline for all these tests. And if we can get any improvements, or we can uncover new findings that actually make what we're doing a little bit more efficient, then that's really good. For instance, we've both got fairly high cholesterol, I think around 7, because we lose so much weight on an expedition and then come back, put it on. So we're yo-yoing by arguably 10, 15 kilos a year. And Hugo's cholesterol dropped off the scale, I think, down to, let me just have a quick look, down to 4.9.
Yeah. And and yours?
And mine stayed exactly the same.
Right.
You know, we weren't expecting to see any cholesterol changes on the omnivore diet because I wasn't really changing anything. So that was the great thing about putting a vegan diet against this, is that Hugo's cholesterol went down. But on the flip side, Hugo's gut bacteria dropped. So to give you a quick understanding of gut bacteria helps to keep you fit and healthy and limits your chance of getting ill. My gut flora, or the bacteria levels in my gut, stayed roughly the same. So I maintained my protection. Whereas Hugo, because he wasn't eating as many different varieties of food, the gut bacteria or diversity in his stomach was reduced, which means he's more susceptible to illness.
Ah.
So the interesting thing is, we've got, on one side, you've got his cholesterol dropped off the chart. Fantastic. But on the other side, you've got he's more susceptible to illness. So this is a really nice example for us of eat the rainbow, eat what you can to give yourself a rounded kind of healthy lifestyle, and just find out what works for you.
Yeah. And did you find out, because as Hugo said, that he wasn't, you know, he was eating and wasn't getting hungry. He didn't have to snack that much. How were you more consistent, or were you crashing and then coming up again?
Yeah, definitely crashing. I think just because easy, cheap foods are, you know, so readily available. But I think after shopping for a few months, when Hugo was trying to find vegan food, nuts, etc., I did start adding a few of the vegan foods into my diet, so like nuts, things like that. So, but yes, I think at the end of the day, we do avoid the high sugar snacks, processed foods now, and go for more wholesome, less sugar, more protein, more fat snacks.
So when you started, Ross, now, like, people are listening to this and go, they're both super healthy anyway, but you started with 13% body fat. At the end of the 12 weeks, what did you have?
Yeah, so the baseline test was body fat percentage. So I was around 11% when I started, and I increased to around 13.5%. And Hugo started around 13% and dropped down to 11. Obviously, that's not identical at the start, you know, a few percentage difference. But obviously, there's a lot of variables within that. Obviously, how much we've had to drink during the day, what time that body stat was taken, etc. So there is a little bit of variation in that, but there is a slight correlation in my body fat as an omnivore went up and Hugo's went down. Obviously, there's lots of variables, but this is just the two of us trying to compare as without as any bias on these studies. So really interesting.
It is really, but at the same time though, Hugo, we're just talking about you like you're not there, but as Hugo, Hugo reported, like, you know, feeling more better after the first couple of weeks and more energetic and sleeping better. Did you experience any change, Ross?
Not particularly, I have to say. I did feel healthier. I was certainly eating more food as the fitness program evolved and we started lifting more, doing more reps, etc. But out of everything that we've done, there wasn't any particular huge highlights that I felt, yeah, that's really changed, apart from obviously strength.
Yeah. So Hugo, having done the 12 weeks, were you dying to get back and sink your teeth into a steak, or have you gone the other way?
Towards the last month, I was really, really craving meat. And then I had a burger the first day, and it's such a stereotypical thing to say, is, you know, you go cold turkey and then suddenly you whack straight back into it. And it was really underwhelming. It was just really underwhelming. But you know, what was a really good thing to experience is all these different types of, you know, that's called vegan foods, and all these advances in, you know, our meat alternatives that have, you know, starting to crop up. Was that was a fascinating food journey to try all of that. And you know, it's not very often that you eat things that you've never tried before, and I was probably doing that week in, week out with tofu and tempeh, jackfruit, there's a few others in there. So yeah, that was fascinating. But yeah, I wish there was that huge release of, you know, yes, I've now can eat meat, but to be honest, I didn't really miss it that much.
Yeah. So, but have you, you know, what have you retained then from that 12 weeks? What foods are you going to continue eating? And I assume there was every now and again, there was something you went, gack, I don't want to eat that again.
Yeah. Tofu. I really don't like tofu, but tempeh, I eat quite a lot of tempeh actually now. It's really nice. It's got a good texture. It works really well with sauces and things like that. So, yeah, I've certainly eating a lot of, you know, those meat alternatives, which is, you know, something that I will continue to do.
Yeah. Well, well done for taking part in this. It seems like, though, overall, the differences were relatively small.
Yeah, they were, I think. Yeah, they were small, but you've got to appreciate this. So just over 3 months. And the team at KCL, when we said to them, you know, we're going to do this 3-month study, what do you think is going to, you know, what changes are you going to see, do you think you're going to see? And they all said, well, 3 months is an incredibly short time to start changing or notice any gut bacteria change. And even though they are small, there's some very clear differences, pros and cons of each, really. So I think Sean, I'm not going to do it for a year, and nor am I going to say let's do it for a year. But I think if somebody, there are a couple of twins that really wanted to try and find out the differences and really highlight pros and cons, it'd be fascinating to see if a set of twins could do it for a whole year.
Yes, that would be interesting. One of our listeners, Sinead, it was a laugh there of not us though. Sinead says, I wholeheartedly support people moving away from animal products where they can. But having done some periods as a vegan, the main thing I've learned is not to trust vegans when they tell you something is delicious. Is that fair comment, Hugo?
Yeah, I think so. I think if it's if it's something, you know, one of those like meat alternatives, tofu, tempeh, jackfruit, which incredibly looks like pulled pork or like pulled chicken once you cook it. Yeah, it's I don't know what it is. It comes from the other side of the world. So that's the other issue you've got to think about. What's the environmental impact of substituting meat? You know, jackfruit, I think, comes from Sri Lanka. So that's coming from around the world. Whereas, you know, if you buy good quality meat, that's come from, you know, just down the local farm. So, you know, it's such a big, you know, topic of conversation and pros and cons everywhere. But yeah, there's some very, very weird foods out there.
Hugo and Ross Turner, thank you both very much for talking to us today.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.